Good morning, everybody. I'm John. Man, I like you guys. Now, my voice is going to sound maybe a little rough today. I had a week, and I know you guys probably have had those weeks too. Something just nailed me, and I'm like, good grief. I'm so glad that we have other people who can strum a guitar and sing. So the reason why I say this is because typically I am the worship pastor. I get to come up here, play a guitar for Jesus. I'm a jester for Jesus. And Paul's gone today, so every once in a while, Paul tosses me the car keys. And so here I am. I can't believe this. So as you guys all know, we are in a series, the book of Philippians. Last week, Paul, he gave the message. It was Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this is where Paul was talking about the prayer of love, right? It was how to grow, know, and show Jesus from the Apostle Paul. And today's message or passage, we're going to be in Philippians 1, 12 through 18. The title of our message today is kind of an oxymoron. It's called Beautiful Chains. Beautiful Chains. We're going to rejoice while advancing the gospel. It's rejoicing while advancing the gospel. And the reason why this is important is because no matter what your circumstances, seriously, no matter what your circumstances, God can use you. God can use you. And today we're going to see the word gospel. The word gospel is going to pop up all over the place. So it's probably important to remind ourselves, what does the word gospel mean? And the word gospel actually comes from the Greek word evangel, which means the good news. And it sounds like evangelize, evangelical. You know, our denomination, we are called the Evangelical Church. So that technically means that we are the people of good news. It's kind of cool, huh? There we go. It's pretty cool. We're the people of the good news. We're not the people of the bad news. People of the good news. And what is the good news? What is the gospel? Simply this, that God saw that all mankind were broken, were lost, bound for hell, and he sent his only son. Kids know this, right? God sent his only son that whoever what? Believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Man, that's good news. That's good news. So we're going to see that pop up all over the place today. It's really the great exchange. It's our sin for salvation. But before we go any further, what's the one thing that we like to do? Pray. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the good news. We thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for your scripture. You wrote it all. You wrote it. So reveal what we need to see and to hear today. Make your word come alive to us and then give us courage, ability, and opportunity, Lord, to act, respond to what you're telling us to do today. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Okay, there's another thing that we're going to see a lot of today. A lot of today. We're going to see those beautiful chains. Chains, chains, chains. Everywhere. And this reminds me, when I think about chains, I think about prison, being bound, right? Captive, being powerless. I don't like that, by the way. But it also reminds me of a kind of a funny story that I recently heard, and I wanted to share this with you. An old farmer wrote to his son, who was in chains in prison. And he said, "Son, this year I won't be able to plant potatoes because I am too weak and can't dig the field. How I miss you, son. I know if you were here, you would surely help me. You'd surely help me." So the son wrote back, "Dad, Don't even think of digging in the field because that's where I buried all the money that I stole. Well, the police, they read this letter, and the very next day, the whole field was dug up by police looking for the money, but nothing was found. So the very next day, the son wrote his dad a letter again. Dad, now go plant your potatoes. It's the best I can do from here. Oh, I love that story. So kind of like that story, we're going to see that in unusual ways, God's best work sometimes involves chains, man. It involves chains. So why don't you go ahead, turn in your Bibles. We're going to get to the verse. It's Philippians 1, 12 through 18. It's also going to be on the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. In the meantime, while you're looking that up, I'm going to go ahead and give you some background on how the heck did Paul land in prison right now in chains as he's writing to the Philippians. So previously, while Paul was visiting Jerusalem, Paul did what only Paul could do. He decided to absolutely torque the Jewish leaders. He made them so mad because he was preaching the what? The gospel. There it is again. He's preaching the gospel. So they had him arrested. And Paul, being a very smart, astute man, he appealed to Caesar instead of them to hear his case. So what happened to Paul? He was escorted to Rome in chains. In chains, there it is. But make no mistake, Paul longed for this. He wanted to preach the gospel so bad to Caesar, to the heads of Rome. And how did he want to do it? He wanted to do it face to face. Face to face. He wasn't afraid of the chains. So Paul was now placed under house or palace arrest. But make no mistake, even in the palace, they had Paul chained up. And apparently, Paul at some point had young Timothy with him as well. Some historians say he was in chains as well. The palace guards, or the praetorium guards, these were actually Caesar's elite guards. Think of them kind of like, you know, Secret Service and Navy SEALs combined. We got some pretty bad dudes, right? These are the guards that are on Paul. And some historians believe that the guards at times may have been physically chained to Paul and possibly Timothy. And then some today, and I actually wondered this myself, some wonder, what did the Apostle Paul and even Timothy, what did they actually look like? Now there's some historians, you can read Josephus or Tacitus, and they describe Paul. Paul apparently wasn't really tall. Some say he had a ruddy complexion, red hair. He had a chip on his shoulder, a smaller guy and everything. Absolutely loved people, but he was intense, right? That's what they've said. And up until now, no one actually really knew. But recent archaeological excavation efforts have uncovered artifacts from Caesar's Praetorium man cave. Mm-hmm. One artifact was actually this picture that was painted by a Roman eyewitness. Check this out. Now, that's exactly what I always figured that Paul looked like. That's amazing. But poor Timothy on the right, man, he did not age well. I told Paul I was going to take a pot shot at him. Anyway, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and read our text today. This is Philippians 1, 12 through 18. Can we stand for the reading of the word today? Is that okay? Excuse me. All right, let's read this together. Philippians 1, 12 through 18. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Amen. You may be seated. What an amazing, amazing statement Paul just made while advancing the gospel in chains. He rejoiced. He rejoiced. Now you can see some of my words that I did the OIA on. We saw gospel three times. We saw chains three times. We saw Christ four times. Brothers twice, sisters twice. The overarching theme, man, it's rejoicing while advancing the gospel. So the first thing that I want us to draw our attention today to is God does impossible things through chains. And really one of the questions is why? Why? I would submit to you, chains have a way of humbling us. I think that's true. Chains have a way of humbling us. And we know through Scripture, God says he will always choose a humble servant. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. But how can humble Paul be good with being in these chains? Well, I would say first off, we know Paul's an expert regarding Scripture. He knew it inside and out. And so he has peace because, this is going to sound weird, but he has peace because he knows God has a prison record. God has a prison record. Let me change that for you a little bit. God has a prison track record. Does that sound better? God doesn't have a rap sheet, but boy, does he have a rap sheet. He's got a prison track record. He's used chains long before Paul. Long before Paul. It's actually a principle that's called the upside down kingdom. Maybe you've heard of this, the upside down kingdom. There's a book out about this, and they get into Jesus and the Beatitudes. It's found in Matthew 5, where Jesus absolutely blows the minds of the Pharisees by saying, who's strong? The weak. The weak are strong. Who's going to inherit the earth? All the strong people? No, the meek, they get it. He goes on and on. It's the upside down kingdom. God's going to topple a kingdom called Rome by using chains. It's the upside down kingdom. So Paul's seen this. First time that we really see this is actually in Genesis. And it's the story of Joseph. Now I know a lot of you probably... last night we're watching your DreamWorks version of Joseph, and I have to tell you, it's not absolutely accurate. That's supposed to be a joke, by the way. But I'm going to give you the quick synopsis of Joseph and how chains were used in an impossible way. So we've got Joseph, Genesis 37 through 50. That's his story. He's a pretty boy. He is. He's a pretty boy. He's got a real nice jacket. And he's got some God dreams, and he has a ton of pride. And he, although he was right, he tells his brothers, he elevates himself over his brothers with his pride, and his brothers get mad. And what do good brothers do when they're mad? They throw you in a pit, right? Of course, they throw you in a pit. And then they sell you into slavery. In what? Chains. Chains. So now here's... proud Joseph, no jacket, in a pit, being sold as a slave with chains. But then, as a slave in Egypt, Joseph He gets tossed into prison to rot because he's falsely accused of making advances against his boss, Potiphar's wife. Great. More chains. More chains. So now you have condemned Joseph, even though he's innocent, accused of attempted rape. And I'm telling you, he's never, ever in the natural getting out of this prison. Never getting out of this prison. But fast forward 13 years, God orchestrates Joseph getting out of jail with more dreams and a lot less pride. Joseph becomes what? The second most powerful leader in all of Egypt, and at that time you could argue the world, out of chains. Why? To save people from dying from an impending famine, the whole region. And how did this impossibility happen? Through chains, through bad things. Listen, Joseph, he even made a comment about this. Genesis 50:20 says this: "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Doesn't that kind of sound like Jesus? Doesn't that kind of sound like the gospel, by the way? And I would say that this makes Paul's chains a little bit more understandable. But don't forget, Paul, he hopes, he believes that God's got him in these chains because he's got his eyes on the big prize. He wants to talk to Caesar. Now, I got some chains here today. You're probably wondering, why does he have that bag? So I just had to do this. I made some shackles. This is so fun. I made shackles. And then last night, I did the unthinkable. I went to my 11-year-old son and I said, "Hey, Lincoln, your name means bringer of freedom. Come here, I want to put these on you." And so I went to Lincoln and I was shocked. He goes, "I want to try them on." So I was going to show a picture, but I thought Child Protective Services would probably have me by the end of this, so I better not. But anyway, I put these on Lincoln. He's got these on his hands. He's like this. And I'm not kidding. 30 seconds later, that smile went to, "Can you get these off of me?" It was awesome. But man, I'm telling you, I'm blown away. These things aren't fun. They're not fun. And they're made to do what? They're made to bind, to confine, right? Oh my gosh. The more I started thinking about these, the more I thought, think about what Paul did in chains under palace arrest. This is amazing. Historians believe that every 4 to 6 hours while Paul was in the palace under arrest, that the guards were changed. Somebody new would come in. Every 4 to 6 hours, a new guard would hear Paul share the gospel, the story of Jesus, over and over. And every 4 to 6 hours, Paul would give his testimony of how he met Jesus personally. And every 4 to 6 hours, Paul would answer questions the guards may have about Jesus. And every 4 to 6 hours, Paul would describe hardships about how God carried him through them all. And every 4 to 6 hours, Paul would pray for him. And he would love on them. And he would ask them, "How's your family doing? Who can I pray for? What are your needs?" You see, every 4 to 6 hours, it became pretty evident. Paul's no criminal. Paul was there for Christ. Verse 13 said this: "As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." So really this begs the question, who is chained to who? Who is chained to who? And who is chained to you? See, my question for you is this: how can you best serve God where you're chained right now? How can you best serve God where you're chained right now? And how can you best share the gospel where you're chained right now? Now, some of you are going to say, I don't want to share the gospel. I'm afraid to share the gospel. That's Pastor Paul's job, right? And I'd like to tell you that that's fine. You're in good company, but you're really not. There's one character out of the Old Testament that I always love to come and visit. I love Moses. Moses. I made a joke about DreamWorks earlier. They really got Moses wrong. When Moses went back to be obedient to save all of Israel, pull him out, do you realize they had to call him out of memory care? He was 80 years old. He was 80 years old. He was a convicted murderer, 80-year-old stutterer with a stick and a bad excuse. Bad excuse. Fast forward, what did God do through Moses? Well, God gave him what he needed. He even gave him his brother to help him talk. But he used Moses to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Some historians say it's 4 million people. That's pretty amazing at 80. So guess what? We don't really have an excuse. Well, some of you might be saying, well, that's the Old Testament. I get it. That Moses, he's famous. Give me something out of the New Testament. Okay, I will. I will give you 12 things out of the New Testament. They're called the disciples. Okay, the disciples. I love this. Acts 4:13 actually says that the Jewish leaders perceived them as unlearned. Translation, knuckleheads. They couldn't believe that these guys were doing amazing things. Amazing things. It made no sense to them. All right, but some might say, well, I get it, but Paul was a super Christian, and I'm not. I'm just me. I'm just me. Well, I've got great news for you today. See that Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that guided Paul, that gave him all the words to speak, it's the same Holy Spirit that's alive in us today. He hasn't changed. He changeth not. And he still is available to us today. Luke 12:12, and I would write this down. This gets rid of our excuse. Luke 12:12, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say at the moment when you need them. Guess what? You just have to ask. You just have to ask. Be available to share, and then ask. Now, some might say, all right, fine. I'm getting it. But I'm not in prison. I'm not in chains. I'm not in Paul's situation. And you know what, friends? I would tell you this. The reality is that probably most of us in this room are never going to be in Paul's situation like that. We hope. But I have bad news. Some of you are actually going to be going to prison this week. Some of you might be going to prison today. Let me explain. After church today, how many of you are going to go to Costco? I did see hands. On Sunday, when you wait in line at Costco, welcome to a mini prison. Oh, yeah. I know. I've been there. I go walk around, get all the free treats that they give you. That part's really fun, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know. And then you go and you wait in line. And you wait in line. And you wait in line. And guess what? God has remarkably placed you next to somebody in the mini prison known as Costco. There's other mini prisons too. I have to tell you, this is so funny. Other examples would be airline flights. My wife recently flew, And she came back and she goes, "You won't believe this. I sat next to this guy for 2 hours and told him all about Jesus." And I thought, poor guy. And then I thought, no, this is great. At Christmas, this guy, he's up in Alaska. He starts sending us Alaskan coffee cups and like salmon and all this stuff. Salmon's cool. And, you know, she got a chance to share the gospel with this guy. And she still does, out of a mini prison called an airline flight. Maybe it's at the doctor's office. Here's everybody's favorite. Maybe it's at the DMV. Wow. And then there's longer mini prisons. These would be like the jobs that we have, right? Some of you love to complain to your spouse about your job. Oh, my job. Oh, Monday, and I have to work with those idiots. And you would never say that because you're sanctified, right? But you used to think it. You know, they're chained to you. God has given you an opportunity now. Maybe it's where you live. Maybe you don't like your neighborhood. But God's got you there. Maybe it's relationships. And I was going to say, do not call your significant other a ball and chain. That would not be good as we're talking about chains today. But be available. Be available where you are chained. Each day, ask the Holy Spirit to give you words. And remember, God has a prison track record. He's done this before. And listen, it's just what he does. The upside down kingdom. Second thing I want us to really draw our attention to is this, though. Our faithfulness while we are in those chains, it encourages others. It absolutely encourages others. People are watching. I want to read verse 14 again. It says this, "Because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Listen, others who labored for Jesus, they're now seeing Paul. Paul, who once planted numerous churches, fearlessly told people about the gospel, was arrested. All these things happened to him. And now he's courageously holding Caesar's guard hostage. You have to believe that this was encouraging them. They knew what he was up to. Paul even says this about them. He says, they are confident all the more. The Greek word for confident means this, absolute or sold out. I love that. And dare all the more. The Greek word for dare means with courage. With courage. So I actually think that they are so sold out, they can't wait to see what's going to happen to Caesar. They can't wait. Now, you might be saying today, I don't think I'm an encouraging person. I don't think I encourage anybody. Not like that. Nobody's watching my life. But you'd be wrong. And let me tell you why you'd be wrong. I think this is funny. People are watching. People are always watching. You might not believe this, but people love to gossip and love to talk. Maybe some of you like to do that from time to time. I know we're not supposed to. Man, I got quiet. And people like to people watch. You ever go to the mall, sit down at the food court and watch people walk by and go, wow, this is wild. Or do you have a neighbor who knows when everybody comes and goes out of your neighborhood and they're always looking out the window? Anybody have that neighbor? Anybody be that neighbor? I gotta tell you, when I was a kid, we had a neighbor who did this. This lady, she was amazingly funny. She would sit there and she'd watch everybody come and go. And so me and my buddies thought it was funny to recreate the scenes of like automotive wrecks. Somebody hit somebody on a bike. And so we'd get all mangled up and we'd see if she'd call 911. And after a while, she quit watching. But it was pretty fun to do. But people love to watch. They love to watch. Listen, this is why social media, by the way, is going nowhere. It's going nowhere. And some people, this is weird, some people like to be watched. What do I mean by that? Well, some people, I'm not calling out my wife, maybe a little bit, like to post pictures of their dinner. I just don't, but all right. Or new clothes, cars, pets, your pet's pets, I don't know. They post pictures of going out with friends. Actually, we all do that, right? We all do it. But here's the point. USA, today, we are the third highest social media user audience in the world. The third highest. Out of 331 million U.S. citizens, this number is astounding. 91% or 302 million people engage in some form of social media usage. Translation, everybody's watching. And a bunch of these people on social media, by the way, they are Christians, they are believers. So what's the application of this? It's just this. Since people like to watch, do like Paul. When God brings a victory in your life, and if there's chains, share it. Share it. Share it on social media. Listen, you're on there already. I know it. You know it, right? Who's on Facebook? That's true. Who's on MySpace? I remember MySpace. All right. Share it. Paul would do it. But do it fearlessly and brag. Brag. Brag on the chains. Brag on God. Brag. Some people don't like me saying brag. I know that. But 2 Corinthians 10:17 says this. But if people want to brag on God, they should brag on only the Lord. Why? Because it inspires people. And that's what Paul would do. So finally today, I want us to stand confident. Stand confident in your chains. Where God's got you in chains, stand confident. Now, when we read this next passage, it doesn't really inspire confidence at first. Actually, I start to get mad. Just a little bit. 15 through 17, let's read this again. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. I mean, what a mess. What a mess. I just want to stop there. Are you kidding me? Using the gospel for selfish ambition, building our own little kingdoms. Kicking Paul while he's in chains. Kick him when he's down. Stirring up trouble for him. I mean, I actually want justice. I want justice for Paul. But Paul kept the main thing. For Paul, it's just the gospel. It's just the gospel. Verse 18, Paul says the best right here. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, and let's all say this out loud, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Now some might say, it's kind of conduct doesn't happen today, right? And I would say, sure it does. And we have to be careful, church. I'm not going to mince words. We all have to be careful. People and churches love to pick the comparison game. We all like to brag about how great our ministries are, our pastors, our kids' men, our music, our building, our whatever. It's the best. But Paul basically says, ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Instead, when we see something great happen for another local church, you know what we should be doing? We should celebrate their success. Listen, if Christ is preached, do what? Rejoice. If another church in town does a great thing, do what? Rejoice. Oh my gosh. It's the main thing. Now, the part that blows my mind, Paul is saying that he can rejoice while all of this is going on, which begs the question, so how does Paul stand confident in chains? How can Paul rejoice? And how can you? Well, I think the answer is one and the same, and I'm going to give it to you right now. And here it is. We all need to learn this. I need to learn this. Paul, he had an ability to see to the other side. Paul could see to the other side. You see, Paul has had visions he can't forget. He's haunted by them. He has seen Jesus standing in eternity, arms wide open, waiting for him. And guess what? Paul knows just how quickly this life is going to be over. 2 Corinthians 12:4 says that Paul actually was taken up into paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Yeah, he saw into heaven. He saw through to the other side. It's the big picture. Now, the Greek word for paradise here, and this is kind of cool. The Greek word is actually New Eden, the New Eden. Paul likely saw a glimpse of the new heaven, and that's where all believers will be going. Paul remembers this vivid vision of seeing Christ in the New Eden. He remembers it all of his days. Every moment that Paul's in prison, he remembers it. Every moment that Paul is in chains, he remembers it. Every moment that Paul is beaten, he remembers it. He remembers. But I don't think this is the only glimpse of heaven that Paul draws upon and remembers. I actually think that Paul was actually quite haunted in a positive way by the stoning of Stephen. It's found in Acts 7, 56 through 58. You see, Paul actually watched someone else have the same vision. Stephen witnessed the New Eden, same paradise. Stephen said in verse 56, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Later became Paul. Paul remembers hearing Stephen say, look, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You see, Stephen and Paul, they both saw through to the other side. That's how they could stand confident. Friends, when you know that your chains are just temporary, they can feel a little bit lighter. I'll say it again. When you know that your chains are just temporary. They can start to feel a little bit lighter. So in closing, if the Apostle Paul were here today, if you're standing here today, what would he say? What would he say to you? I think the first thing Paul would say to you is he'd say, let go and let God do the impossible with the chains that he's placed in your life. I think he would say, ask God, who does he want you to reach? Second is, man, be faithful and brag on God. Encourage others and believers. Listen, we need encouragers, church. We need encouragers. And the third thing he would say, he'd say, just rejoice. His chains are temporary. Look to the other side. So this band comes out. I've asked them to come out. We're going to sing one last song today. But before we do that, friend, do you see through to the other side? Listen, the same eternity that Paul could not wait for, it's around the corner. And it's waiting for everyone, last one of us. I have a saying that in 100 years in this room, every last person is going to meet Jesus face to face. And listen, you're going to say something. You're going to repeat Acts 7:56. I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And if you belong to Jesus, this will be the greatest moment of your existence ever, if you belong to Jesus. So let's close our eyes with all eyes closed today. Friend, scripture is very, very clear. Everyone has sinned throughout their lives. We've all created a massive amount of sin debt that we cannot repay. And only someone who is perfect can forgive such a debt. And the good news, the gospel, someone did. And that's Jesus. He paid your debt. He took the punishment for you on the cross. But you have to receive Jesus. You have to receive him. You have to follow him. Listen, without Jesus, there is no paradise. There's no new Eden. Scripture says there's eternal darkness. But for those who trust in him, there is paradise. So what are you waiting for today, friend? If you haven't ever settled the matter, you can do it today. You can ask Jesus into your life. Do you know him? What a travesty it would be to attend church your whole life and think that attendance was enough, only to find out that you actually never knew him. Do you know him? You can right now. I'm going to say a prayer. Just repeat after me. Jesus, simply take my life. Make the gospel, the very good news of God, come alive in me today. Jesus, you died on the cross to pay for my sins, because I can't. So I turn my life over to you, Jesus. Wash me, cleanse me, save me, and make me yours, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen. And with all eyes still closed, whether you're saying that for the first time today or you're rededicating your life to him, I want you to just get my attention, raise a hand, look at me. I want to agree with you. What are you waiting for? He's the kindest person we will ever know. All right, with all eyes closed, the rest of us probably need to quit resisting these beautiful chains. So out loud today, let's repeat this prayer. Father God, place me where you want me to be. Open doors and speak through me to others. Give me confidence in these chains and help me see through to the other side and live for you. Amen.